y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 564, I'm welcoming back to the show Nadia Dixon to do part two of our Clarity series.
It's part of this filtering lens that we want to create. We want to create a filtering lens because we all have 24 hours in a day. We should be sleeping some of those hours. And honestly, what this is going to sound almost impossible, but what God has called us to, He has given us the exact number of hours that we need. So if you're getting to the end of your day every day and you're overwhelmed because, oh my gosh, there's so much more to do and you don't have time to be, then it's time to start filtering things out. Because part of life balance isn't that you're juggling 12 things at the same time. It's understanding the priority of the things. This is where values is really important and how it leads into vision.
As you heard last week, Nadia is a transformational leadership coach. She's a purpose strategist, and she equips high-capacity leaders to align life, leadership, and legacy with their authentic design. And last week, she helped clarify our identity, the one we have in Christ, and our own unique identity and strengths that we have. And hopefully, you've been able to check out Clifton's strengths and learn a little bit more, asking Jesus, who do you say I am? This week, we're focusing on values and vision and how they go hand in hand. Whether you've named them or not, they are directing your family. And when you do name them, they become this powerful lens and filter for making decisions, setting priorities, and really shaping the atmosphere of your home. There are some great tools in the show notes that Nadia has given us, a 5 core values exercise, and then an annual vision process. Whether you do that for your kid this summer or for the next school year, definitely check those out in the show notes. But let's get right to my conversation with Nadia. Here we go.
Nadia, welcome back so soon.
Very rarely do I get to do back-to-back episodes with guests, and it's so fun because we're just like pop right back in there. Thank you for being willing to do this.
Yeah, it is fun. I think when you get in the zone, you just want to stay there until you've kind of eked out every last thing that maybe the Lord is telling you or revealing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's something going on here with women and the things that we're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, I could do a deep mental dive in this generation versus previous generations and why we're putting energy into it anyway. But I'm thankful that women are willing and there are women like you to guide us. And so thank you for our conversation last week on identity. And this week we want to lean into values and vision. And you and I were talking about, well, which one goes first? And you wisely said they go hand in hand and one informs the other and the other informs. So, but we're going to start with values.
Yeah.
We're going to start with values, not because we decided for sure that that's the lead in, but it makes sense for this conversation. So talk to us about that. I think we throw often it out, like, what are your values? What do you value? Mm-hmm. But the amount of time and energy we put into really naming those and deciding for ourselves and for our family, it's very little.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully after today, it becomes a little easier for your listeners, because I think what's so important about this topic is, first of all, everybody has values. Whether or not they've named them is another story altogether. And when you can name something, it becomes powerful. Language is powerful. And so I think I told you I'd go through an exercise with the women in my cohorts, and one of the most difficult things for them to do is to identify the values that they value the most, because there's so many wonderful, good things. There's great, you know, attributes of God, and we're all image bearers, but we're all unique. We talked about that last time too. So we all uniquely express the highest, best qualities because we reflect the image of God. And so I give them, a number of values, and I say, okay, put one in the important pile and then put the other in the most important pile. So they're already distilling it down to half the pack of cards.
How many cards?
Oh, gosh. I think there's maybe 40.
Okay. So you kind of list off 40. What's some examples?
Yeah. Well, some examples are fun, family, legacy, integrity, stewardship, you know, urgency. These are all different types of things that are all very virtuous. And so that's why it's hard. You're like, well, all of that's important, right? Honesty is important, right? Integrity is important. Yes, they're all important, but we resonate with them differently. Hmm. I might have fun as one of my top five values, and you might have efficiency as one of your top five values. So, and that's okay. It takes all kinds, right? Yeah. Well, just knowing and naming your values helps with defining vision. And so what I'm going to give your audience today is a little bit of a worksheet. So it's not cards, but as if they were cards, they're all on a page.
Okay.
And what they can do is go through each column and pick two of the most important in that column. Then they're going to go around for another round and they're going to just pick one from each column. And so the value of faith is a given, assuming our audience are believers in Christ. Yeah. Faith is a given, so you don't have to pick that one. But what are the other five values that surround that? And so, you know, one of mine is fun. One of mine is family. One of mine is integrity. And so the next exercise, okay, I don't want to overwhelm, but if you know your Clifton strengths,
right?
We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
How do those five values correlate or express through your strengths? Because all of these exercises bring us to alignment.
Okay.
And when we're walking in alignment, there's less toil, less frustration, more clarity, more authenticity. And then when you are able to define, you know, what, when your vision becomes clear, your values become clear, your strengths become clear, there's less randomness, there's less guessing or indecisiveness. There's just a clarity that comes because you're becoming clearer on how you are uniquely designed and wired. And so this is where, you know, authentic leadership comes from, authentic mothering, friendships come because you become very clear on what you're about and how you show up and what's most important. It doesn't mean that there's any that are more right than others. It's just personal preference. And they can change. They may toggle, just like our strengths sometimes change when we appropriate them at different times. We function in them at different times. Not often. You know, real true blue strength finders coaches may say, she shouldn't be saying that. But I have experienced that there's just been a little bit of a toggle and your values can change. You know, my value as a young mom could be family. But as I get older, my value may be legacy because now I'm thinking about my children's children's children. Right. What am I imparting that will stay on for generations to come? So it's okay that as we grow and change, even a vision can change. A vision can transition because we go from strength to strength and glory to glory. The beauty is being able to name them because it clarifies the transition as we go through. It's less confusing.
So with this worksheet.
Yeah.
I'm going to get real particular. That's how many columns?
There's five.
So there's five columns, and you said pick two of, that are most important out of all the five columns.
Out of each column. So if you just go 10. Down the list, right, you've got, yes, you're going to start that way.
Okay.
That's hard, and then, that's hard enough.
And then out of those 10.
You're going to distill it down again.
To just one.
Just one per column. But let me say this.
Okay.
You're like, well, I really love two from this column. And if you want to trade one out, that's fine. But you're really only going to land with five.
Okay, I'm getting it. So I'm picking two out of column one. And, then I'm two of the next to the next, next. Then I go to those two and out of those two, which one trumps the other one?
Yes.
And then I'm landing on five, one from each column. Right.
Because five's a good number. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm thinking, the next thought I had was moms could do this for their personal values.
That's right.
Like I value some things that my entire family does not value. I value peace.
That's right.
Or I value kindness, or, you know, yes, sometimes that isn't really necessarily a value with teenage boys. So I might do this exercise for me personally. And then it could be another whole thing where you as a family sit down.
Yes.
And you're corporately deciding, do you feel like? Maybe it's the age of the kids.
Well, it depends on the ages of the kids. But yeah. I would say what would be interesting is for every person to do it individually.
Mm.
And then come together and say, are there any overlapping visions? I mean, values?
And maybe what they think the values of the family are. Not necessarily right. Individually, but they are, yes, they're noticing, it seems like our family values organization, right, or,
yeah, know,
whatever.
Yeah, okay, that's right. And what's fun about that is that when everyone comes together and you may see some overlap, when you go towards creating a vision statement for your family or a value statement for your family, you know that those are definitely part of it. You know, God is speaking in that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's fun to do it individually first and then come together and compare.
And I can like, even as I say, like, I value some things that I can tell my boys don't value that, right, keep becoming a point of conflict or dissonance. It just was helpful to even say it, like you were saying, like naming it. Oh, that's why that feels hard. It feels like I'm in a frat house and I don't value being in a frat.
Right.
I didn't choose this. And I don't, yeah, know that I have the power to change aspects of it. So, right, I can either live in misery. Like, what do you do if you value something, but you're in circumstances that don't, that you can't change?
You can't change people, but you certainly have control over atmosphere.
Okay.
And so maybe there is a space and a place and an understanding that there is a zone.
Okay.
That when you go into that zone, the atmosphere is XYZ, you know? So for you, it's peace. And I've known moms who have taken a room. If you have, now not everybody has the space to take a room.
Yeah.
But, you know, formal dining rooms are becoming less important today. People have, you know, a casual and formal dining room in their kitchens sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I know a mom who took her formal dining room and she had closed it off with French doors, and that was her zone. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The kids were not allowed in that room. They knew it. That's mom's room, because mom, in order to have oxygen for her kids, needed an oxygen room. And so when she was, and nothing was trifled with, nothing was taken out of place, and everything that brought her peace and joy, if she was doing her devotions in there, that was her space. And even if she just had 5 minutes in there, kind of changed, you know, the trajectory of the day. Mm-hmm. So not everybody has that luxury. Some people might have to take a closet. Now, I'm just talking about, how do you accommodate something like this? When you have, right, peace as one of your top values and your kids have fun and rambunctious, you know, ruckus as one of their values,
yeah,
they have a zone for that. You have a zone for that, right? So,
yeah. And it does help to know, well, our family values. So like I communicated to you, I think when we talked a few weeks ago, that our family, it's fun, it's communication, it's creativity. Those are three that, yeah, we've landed on. That is not a quiet situation. Communication, creativity, fun are all chaotic values. But I had to literally, as a mom of young kids and even teens, I mean, even last night, when it is kind of loud and there's a lot of ruckus, I have to lean in and be like, are they having fun? Yes. Mm. Are they communicating with each other? Mm. Yes. Are they connecting? Which I guess connection is another one. Like, are they talking about creative things? Yes. Okay. So this isn't the time for my personal value of quiet.
Right. But they're checking off all the boxes.
Yeah.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
And so you can even, depending on how, you know, their age of reason and if they're able to understand, but you can say, you know what? Right now, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do as a family. But for me to have my creative space, sometimes I need to go to a quiet place. And then when I come to these opportunities, I bring so much creativity, because some people are creative in the quiet. Mm-hmm. Other people are creative in the community. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, bouncing ideas off of each other and you know, being instantaneous in season, out of season, whatever. But also just having a respect for the individual values,
yeah,
as well as the collective corporate values.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote with in seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
What are some of your personal values and family, just to give people more examples?
Mm-hmm. It within the family realm?
Like for you, like, yeah. Do you find that you have personal that are at odds with family, or does it all seem...
Well, aligned? I have to go back now because my husband and I live alone in our home and our kids are grown and gone.
You're
and
we like, have grandchildren. I don't have to compete with other people.
But you know what? This is a great time. So as we approach summer, my grandson, who's 11 and wide open, will spend a lot of time with us.
Yeah.
And it's a great time to talk about Nana and Papa's values in their home, because our home isn't like his home. Not that one home is better than the other, even though our rules may differ.
Yeah.
But it's because it boils down to, this is what Nana and Papa value. Mm-hmm. And so even explaining that to kids, and coming from a blended family, you know, right. My kids spent time with their natural father and his wife, and they spent the majority of their time with me and my husband. And there was confusion about authority because they were going back and forth with different rules.
Yeah.
Again, it's about the values, and there's not a right and wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just different. And that giving that language helps with a lot of the confusion too, that often comes with that dynamic. That's of going from one parent home to another. And so if you're asking me, how did it differ going back? We all enjoyed fun.
Yeah.
We all enjoyed dancing spontaneously if a song came on that we all liked. But some were introverted and some were more extroverted. And not everybody was an open book.
Yeah.
And didn't like being forced to become an open book when we were sharing things and stories. And so just giving space again to how they're wired, being a student of your child, understanding how they're wired differently, how they're bent, giving them space for that, but also asking that they also respect the difference, because we're not all the same. We're not all having the same experience when there's a lot of volume in a room. Some people, it can cause anxiety. And so just even giving them that understanding of that everybody's not having the same experience.
So good. Like, I'm just picturing, you know, if you have the one out of the four who's so wired differently, who's feeling like, what's wrong with me? I'm not enjoying this in the same way everyone else is. It's like, oh, maybe do this exercise. If you haven't done any kind of strength or any kind of personality test with them, but I think even just, oh, you value different things.
Yeah.
That's okay. I think using that worksheet is going to be really helpful. I'm already excited to implement.
So most of these values are within the context of how you're leading. And, I would say feel creative and open as a parent to maybe alter some of those values that would be more relevant to the life stage of your family.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, fun is in there, things like that, but maybe there's other ways to define something so that it's under, you know, your child understands it and it's contextualized for their life.
No, that's good. Stage.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything else mom should think about with values, or do you want to move into vision?
Well, I think this will work into vision. You know, it's part of this filtering lens that we want to create. We want to create a filtering lens because we all have 24 hours in a day. We should be sleeping some of those hours. And honestly, what this is going to sound almost impossible, but what God has called us to, He has given us the exact number of hours that we need. So if you're getting to the end of your day every day and you're overwhelmed because, oh my gosh, there's so much more to do.
Yeah.
And you don't have time to be, then it's time to start filtering things out. Because part of life balance isn't that you're juggling 12 things at the same time. It's understanding the priority of the things. This is where values is really important and how it leads into vision. Because if your values are named, you can define them. And then you start thinking about, you and I talked a little bit about not just having like an overall vision statement, but because life roles change, life stage changes, what's your vision today as a mom, you know, of toddlers? What's your vision as a mom of teenagers? Those are going to change, those vision statements. Okay, but you should have also a vision statement for what is it like to be married to your spouse at this life stage while you're raising children, little children. What's your vision for your home life? What do you want people to feel when they come in? What is the atmosphere that you would like? You know, is it a curated museum or is it cozy and welcoming? So just having a definition for the realms of your life, personally, in your roles, professionally, with your finances, and then even in your volunteerism or your ministry life, having a vision statement that's informed by your values. And I say pencil it in because it's a working, living document. Some people are afraid to put pen to paper. Well, then use a pencil because you can erase it. You can change it. You know, something, life happens. Your dreams can change and it's okay.
When you and I were talking about, I said, as moms, sometimes we can have these visions of our kids, what we want them to become. And that's not what these vision statements are. These aren't about like, oh, I really hope that my child chooses to pursue the Lord and be married to a young lady who's also doing that. Like, this isn't that kind of vision boarding.
Right. That's a prayer.
That's a prayer.
You can pray that.
Yeah.
But you know, if you've put everything in God's hands,
yeah,
that's where your gift of adaptability is incredible. But
you said something about formative over performative.
Yes. And I actually have another worksheet for this because if you're wanting to define and write out a vision statement, the first thing you're doing is you're going to pray. Lord, what do you see? And this is what helps us not say, this is my dream for my child.
I look good and that I can perform well.
My dream has to die. It's Lord, what's your dream for my child?
Yeah.
And it ends up being a lot more about character. I think that's what we're talking about than performance. It ends up being a lot about who they're becoming more than what they are going to be doing.
Or who we're becoming.
Right. And because we're becoming too. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of my vision statement, maybe I'm not going to let this drive me crazy. So, it's just kind of broken down so that you're praying, you're seeing how your child is wired differently, how God has made them each unique, the uniqueness of them. The Lord may be showing you, this is the year that their formation or their character is going to be built around honesty.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the vision statement has to do with, you know, Lord, or well, you're kind of praying it through, but my child will learn the value of honesty and integrity and, you know, the hardship and consequences of lying. Okay.
Let them get caught, Lord.
And meanwhile, your other child is, you know, walking the line in that area, but maybe they're not frugal. or maybe they're
not taking risks.
Doing things well. Yeah. And so that's why it has to be so unique for each one. Mm-hmm. Lord, what's your vision for them this year? What's your vision for me this year as the mom of my 16-year-old son? What's your vision for me as the wife of, you know, my husband who's traveling all the time? The roles that we play, those are the types of things like, how am I showing up this year?
Yeah.
And so I say year because we change. I mean, we completely change every 3 years.
Right.
Completely.
Okay.
You know, and that's textbook. That could be an organization. That can be a ministry. We change over 3 years if we're continually, you know, examining, executing, and accounting. So, and this is what I tell my coaching clients. At the end of our engagement, what do you want to be able to say? What's the declaration you want to make?
Hmm.
So at the end of the year, you know, what would you like to be true of your relationship with your son? Again, it's not your son or daughter and their performance. It's what do you want to be true about your relationship and how you're supporting them and who they are becoming? And it takes a lot more handholding when they're young and little. But then the hard part is, as they're becoming, you know, they're walking in their own mind and discernment and independence, giving them space for that, mm-hmm. and not trying to control and manipulate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's helpful.
No, that's super helpful. Because I remember when you first brought this up to me, I was like, wait a second. If I create a vision of who I want these people to be, I'm going to be constantly disappointed. But I think it's this surrender to God and like, God, show me what, like you said, my kids, who they are becoming, what areas right. you're working on this year, or even y'all, I know it's spring when this episode airs. Summer to me is a really formative season that mm-hmm. I think gets skipped over. We always think about the school year, but so many opportunities for growth and new experiences. And yes. so maybe you just do a little trial run and create some vision statements for your kids for the summer. And yeah. as you're like choosing activities that you do or don't do, don't feel like you have to sign up for everything just because all your peers are. Maybe it's more space and time. Really bringing that to God for that, for those visions. So we talked about kids, but like, what are some examples of vision statements for moms who are listening for themselves? I know you talked about the different realms. Mm-hmm. Will you just mention those realms again that we do have, we're accountable for?
Okay. Well, for moms, personally, you would think about how you want to grow or increase, or what you want to subtract and take away also in your personal realm. So it would be your physical fitness, your relational fitness, your intellectual fitness, and your spiritual fitness. And I get that from Luke 2:52. So when Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, went through formation like this, when he was lost and his parents found him in the temple, and you don't hear about the next 18 years, the only thing we know until he turned 30 is that he grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with man and favor with God. So physically, intellectually, relationally, and spiritually.
Mm.
Those are the four things that he was supposed to steward with the Lord in formation until he turned 30. And those are the things that we also will give an account for. We've all been given a measure of, I call it capital, to be multiplied. We have relational capital, intellectual capital, physical capital, and spiritual capital.
Yeah.
And if it's not growing, it doesn't stay dormant. It actually starts to deteriorate. It atrophies. It's easy to neglect ourselves and to be formed by the forces of life. What this is doing is, instead of being conformed to the forces of life, we're being transformed and becoming transformational in the process, because now we are impacting the atmosphere instead of allowing the atmosphere to impact us. This is so important for mothers because mothers are under attack. I mean, there's messaging coming from all over about who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to show up. Really, those things are informed by God uniquely to our current circumstance. And we're discerning and defining that with God. That's where authenticity and authority and influence comes from. So your vision statement might be, you know, here's one. It's so funny when I tell women to fill out, you know, what are some of your accomplishments over the last 12 months, they start to wonder like, oh, well, I didn't write a book, so I can't write that down. I'm like, no, that's, yes, that's great if you did. But what if you just started drinking water? What if you started making sure you were supplementing your nutrition? What if you went out and started walking? Those don't sound like big things, but it's strategic.
Yeah.
If you want to grow. So having some of those vision statements for yourself, it's a vision statement, but it becomes a determinant of what your strategic activities are. And that's when you can start filtering out what is wasteful and what is fruitful. Because wasteful things can seem very busy. We can seem very busy and we feel like we're being productive. But is it lining up with what you said you wanted to do? Is it lining up with the vision that you cast for the year? Mm. And you know, in Habakkuk it says, write it down, make it plain, use it as a reference tool. Because yeah. It's so easy to get sidetracked and side-railed, especially with the world as tumultuous as it is right now. So be grounded and centered in the things that God showed you.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
And I told you I'm very reactive, very present, but also that intention. I mean, I've used tools before, like Cultivate What Matters. Have you heard of that tool?
No, I haven't.
So it's just a gal, Laura Casey, came up with it. I mean, it's almost like a planner, but the process is looking at 8 different areas of your life, giving them a number, focusing in on a few of them, having daily, weekly, monthly habits. I spend some time on it, but it is not consistent. But having having a vision statement feels daunting to me, like that concept. So you were about to say an example of one. What is an example of one? Because I can't even conceptualize
okay,
what that would sound like.
Okay. So I think I might have said this in our last conversation, but when I was working from home and my sons were home with me, there was a lot of strain with me and my youngest. Mm-hmm. And so my vision statement for that year was to create unforgettable moments, positive unforgettable moments, because I had a lot of unforgettable moments that were heartbreaking. And so, and in that case, I had to become reactive, because when the time presented itself that he was ready and invited me into an unforgettable moment, instead of me saying, no, I'm too busy, I can't do that, I had to like go with the flow. Oh, yes, I would love to do that with you. So, but do you see how broad that is?
Well, and it's interesting because you're like, that is the vision for that relationship, but it sounds like it doesn't necessarily line up. And it lined with your values.
Yes.
But not necessarily maybe your strength.
Right. Well, because I had to be more responsive than initiated.
Right. And so there are going to be times when we're going to be a little bit stretched.
Right.
They're not necessarily going to be slam dunk.
Yeah.
Vision, easy peasy.
Right. Well, I say love is messy. You know, relationships take work. just like with our spouses. I mean, yeah, it's an ebb and flow. It's a give and take. And it really is formation is what it is.
So yeah, now, so you're having to be like, okay, there are times for me to be focused and that's an easier strength of mine. And there's time to be adaptable and that's a harder stretch. And because this relationship matters and I've made this vision of creating good, unforgettable memories, moments.
Yeah.
I'm going to form myself.
Yeah. It may require, because that's a stretch goal.
Stretch goals. Yep.
You may have to say, well, what does that look like for me? Mm. And you may have to give yourself some scenarios. But even with that vision statement, it's not necessarily a goal or a SMART goal, but it could become one.
Okay.
So what does that mean? Okay. A SMART goal is specific. It's measurable. It's attainable. It's relevant. It's time specific.
So she just spelled out SMART, y'all.
Yeah. That's
each letter. Each letter of SMART stands for another part of somebody has analyzed this. And they're like, if you want a goal that's actually going to make a difference, it needs to be SMART. It needs to be.
Yeah. Because me saying I want unforgettable moments with my son, it's very broad. A SMART goal is something that's very, you know, a SMART goal isn't like, I want a better marriage. A SMART goal is specific. Okay. I'm going to do date night with my husband every second Thursday. And, you know, we're going to spend 90 minutes at least together or blah, blah, blah. I mean, you're going to kind of just start specifying it a little bit more to give it shape. And what you're really doing is creating, okay, what is it that you're accountable for? So if you were my accountability partner, you'd say, hey, did you go on a date with your husband last week, Thursday? And if I said no, you could ask me, well, what happened? You know, what could make it different next time? You know, you kind of keep asking questions. You know, same with these. You could start something broad, but then what does that look like for the summer? Well, here's my SMART goal for the summer. But again, it really involves just you. Mm. It's not, this is my SMART goal for my kid. You know? But they can create one. They can own it. That's the power of it, is that if you can help them walk through a goal that they have, then, and they come up with it and they own it and they, you know, if you say, well, what does success look like for you in that? And then they tell you, then that's a metric that's going to stick in their mind. You know, I sound like I'm a perfect mom, but I can tell you that a lot of my motherhood did not involve these things.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I simply did not know. I was surviving and going off the script of my upbringing.
Yeah.
Which was very dysfunctional. And so I think the earlier that you know, again, this is not to put pressure on you that you have to have this very strict curricular, you know, design for your life, but you can have boundaries. And I think that's what's really important, is understanding what are non-negotiable ones and what are adaptable ones.
Well, let's say, okay, let's go back to the school choice, which kind of motivated this whole thing. Let's say your family's evaluating where your kids are going to go to school. And let's say one choice is a financial stretch for your family, which is going to require you to take on work either in the home or outside the home. And you're looking at your strengths and you're looking at your other values. Like, is that maybe the best match for a school if it's going to require you to be putting energy in these other places? Or let's say homeschooling, like you're thinking, okay, well, we have these values. We're not seeing those in our current public school option or in the private school options we have. So I need a homeschool. Well, again, is it lining up with your, how you're wired? And do you enjoy teaching? Do you enjoy, like, do you need more quiet? Well, then if you do homeschool, how are you going to put that in? Like, I just feel like,
yeah,
like you said, it is a filter. It is also helps you discern as you're making choices for your family, for your kids, some of these bigger choices. Do we move? Does my husband take that job? Do I take that job? Do I need to quit my job? I mean, didn't you share there was a career change you made because of all this?
Yeah, I had to change the way that I worked.
Yeah.
To be more present, to be more available. I was outsourcing way too much. And, you know, even you're talking about, you know, all of the things that we involve our children in, all the different things to make them well-balanced. Sometimes it just makes them exhausted.
Yeah.
And so even reevaluating some of those things, you may be over outsourcing things to their formation.
Yeah.
And just thinking about what is it, again, praying, God, what is it in me that I'm to impart into them? It's really, you're looking at it, again, I outsourced, it was everybody else's job, the teachers, the youth pastors, everything, even the grandparents. And I had to take a close look at, God, what is my, first of all, I am the headmaster. Even though they may have one at their school, I'm the headmaster that's accountable for my child at the end of the day, that I'm going to give an account for these years. And so it's not flippant. It's not random or given to chance. If I had to design the curriculum for their bent, what would it be? What would it require? And like you're saying, well, what if it's out of budget? Okay. How do I still give them that experience? How do I still give them that exposure if I can't afford this? What are the other alternatives or options that will still get them there in this particular thing that I think is so important for them, because God has shown me this is a particular thing I want you to expose your child to or have them around this type of influence. So it's just being creative too in understanding those things. If there has to be trade-offs made when it comes to things like that, again, you know what your guardrails are because you've got this filtering system, this lens, and you're still trying to get to the same destination.
Well, and I would also just caution if you're the other extreme from Nadia, where you have been doing a solo game and you're not outsourcing enough, you know, you might need to recognize, are you trying to be the end all be all in their life? And God made you a limited human being. And I have found like that was my bent. And I had to allow other friends, like adult friends of ours in our community, in our kids' life. I had to invite other professionals. I had to kind of stop hiding and start inviting. That was like the whole don't mom alone thing comes from my own crash and burn story of panic attacks and taking on too much. Mm. And so I do think it's this walking with God, balancing it out for yourself, not balance, I'm putting that in quotes, but like one, either extreme is not healthy. No extremes are healthy ever, but really I think what I heard you say at the very beginning was we're praying, we're partnering with God. We are looking, and these are not for their lifetime. This is for short windows of time that we stay in connection, that we're walking, you know, the light for the path can only show us so much of the path, right? So we have to stay in connection with God. And again, if you have not done any of this work that we've talked about, anything related to your identity, your strengths, your core identity in Christ, but then also your individual unique strengths, you've never even considered your values, you've never even tried a vision statement for one of those four areas for yourself personally or even for your kids, these are great places to start, to stop feeling so pressured by your culture, by your community, and just walk with confidence. I'm going to give the example. I have it in my drawer here. In 2020, I went and got my colors done.
Ah, nice.
I'm holding it up. Basically, they draped me in a bunch of things and which colors, like I didn't have makeup on. If you color your hair, they cover your hair. It's who God made you to be outside of your size, shape, whether you have zits that day or not. What colors are your best, bring out your best self? And do you know how clarifying it is when I walk into a Target? When I see something online, I am not swayed by willy-nilly trends. Like if it is not in this, does not coordinate with these colors, I'm not getting it. And it's so helpful, so, so helpful. And I feel like if y'all do this work, if you take the time, if you do the worksheets that you're going to get in the show notes, pick one of the things start wherever you feel God's leading you. But I think it's going to feel so clarifying and that confidence you're going to have that I'm walking with God. He made me this way. This is right for our family right now, for this kid right now. It's just,
I love that. What a great example that is, Heather, because have you heard of the reticular activator in the brain?
Yes, I have because I took neurology twice.
Okay.
Went to two different schools anyway, that's the only reason why. But tell everybody else who hasn't taken neurology.
Okay, well, like for an example, what you just did, you showed the color swatches and you said, now when I go into a Target where there's all of these options swirling around my head, I am beelining exactly to where I need to go. And that is the same thing when the Lord reveals something to you, information becomes revelation. And it just quiets the noise.
Yeah.
You know, another example could be, you know, I was looking for this black SUV and didn't hear of it before until I was introduced to it. And then after that, I started seeing it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Never noticed it before. And I'm like, wow, everybody's got this vehicle. Well, because I'm now activated to hone in on that very thing. So when God shows you something,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, those who are faithful with little will be faithful for much. Be careful how you hear things, because how you listen, it will be measured back to you. It's very, very much like, okay, what God shows you, he starts to build on. And it becomes an area of focus. And when you have that, when you start becoming focused on something, or you have that vision board or color swatch or whatever, you know what the destination is, then it just starts to clarify everything that's around you. And you know what's noise and you know what's not noise anymore.
Yeah.
So that's that so I'm good. I'm going to keep that in my pocket, because that's such a great example.
Well, and then also in my speech pathology work, I did work with cochlear implants and hearing aids. And prior to them being better, like the digital versions of hearing aids, it used to just make all sound loud. And our brains are masters at filtering out the background noise from who we're talking to. And it takes a minute for a new user of these devices to do that, to filter it out, to, like you said, the noise, to get rid of the noise, focus in on the message. And so I love exactly how you said it. Like it is so noisy. And when you're a new mom, and especially with social media, you're getting told all the time what's supposed to be important, what you're supposed to value for a good outcome. And only God knows the outcome. I've seen enough parents and enough versions of how to parent. These two parents could do the exact same thing and totally different outcomes with different kids in their own home. So no, there's no promised outcome. Only one promised savior who knows the whole story. And so better to partner with him. Yeah. Well, I think everything you showed is so amazing. Again, y'all, were putting links in the show notes. Anything else you wanted to make sure you said before we close out?
I think it just all goes back to the very first conversation we had about how God uniquely designed and wired us. And the more clear you become on these things, the less frustration, the more alignment. You know, it's noisy. Dissonance feels uncomfortable. Incongruence feels fake, but you don't have to be. Yeah. Right. It's flow.
Yeah.
You can actually flow and enjoy these seasons that otherwise seem so overwhelming.
Yeah.
When you are able to define these things, then there's not this undue pressure. Everything that you just said, that does not make it joyful at all.
No. And I just feel like kids, especially when they're young, they recognize, I mean, I think of the years I was so, felt so much pressure to get it right that I actually sabotaged some of the connection and just the peace and like the love on your face, you know? If you're coming in feeling stressed, we got to be there on time, whatever. They can sense that, and not that we need to feel like guilt over that. It's just more, everyone could just enjoy the whole thing a lot more.
There'd
be a lot more enjoyment and love. And if we just,
And count the wins, because the win's not necessarily that, you know, your child got A's all year.
Right.
The win is what you did to contribute to, and you fulfilled that part of it. And your obedience is the win. That's the win.
Yeah.
Because you don't get like accolades at the table.
No,
you don't, you know, no. I was telling you, I think last time you're in the boardroom or, you know, you're in business, you know what your metrics are and you know when you're crushing it, when you're not. You don't in motherhood. Yeah. And it can feel really nebulous. But when you have those things defined and you can review them at whether you review them every 90 days or every year, you're seeing, okay, yeah, I did it. I did what I was supposed to do. And God is with, you know, it's up to him. You know, what happens after your obedience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. He's faithful. Well, thank you, y'all. The values worksheet, and then you said there's a vision worksheet.
Yeah, just to help. It's just a good, it has an example and just little writing blocks so that you can just kind of formulate a simple vision statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one, or do we do one for each of those four areas?
I would do one for each child.
One for each child.
And if you want to have one for your personal realm this summer,
yeah,
you can create one for this summer.
But we're not making like one for physical, one for relational, one for.
Well, you can. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but I mean, that's a lot to kind of carry. But if I think the things that are important to you for the summer.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. What is most important? Okay, then write what that looks like in a vision statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. I know you're going to want more. So this may not be farewell forever. Okay. Just, you might be getting random emails from me. Just fair warning. Okay. You're stuck with me. Thank you for sharing these last episodes. I've enjoyed it so, so much.
Thank you, Heather. It's been a pleasure.
I personally found it super interesting that in talking about the values, it helped me recognize where I feel some stress and some tension in my home and how it can be these competing values, which aren't necessarily a bad thing, that I have different personal values than we have deemed for our family and just the nature of having four active boys. But that in order to have that value met, I have to make time and space for it. So for me, that was an aha moment. I don't know what aha moments you had. And then even just inviting God into a vision process for your kids, I had never considered that. And I think I'm going to download the PDF that's in the show notes to do for my kids. I have one heading off to college in the fall, a new place, and then a new high school. And just another one that I'd never considered, like, what vision do I want to hold for him? And so, yes, originally we were thinking this would be for you as a mom, but I do think that tool and inviting God into that for our kids is super helpful to kind of release what the culture says the outcome should be for our kids and really aligning with God and what he has for them to learn in short seasons, whether it's the summer or in the longer periods of time, and really leaning into our uniqueness as families, as a group that wants to bring the kingdom and live out all that we can be. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, man, how helpful it can be to really have the clarity and the discernment that you are willing to give if we take the time to name these things, invite you into the process. You do give vision. You do give us perspective to see what matters and to let go of what doesn't and to not allow those around us to dictate where we spend our time, our energy, our money. They become other idols that, just like the Israelites in letting the neighboring communities impact where they worshiped and who they turned to for help, may we turn to you for help and for clarity on how our families should operate and what we should be saying yes to and what we need to let go of and where we should put our energy. Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that Nadia has shared with us. I pray that we do make the time to sit with you and to listen to you and to be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, join me back here next week. I have a great conversation to share with you. It is with a returning guest. Her name is Vinitha, and she is going to share really vulnerably about her story about walking through divorce and how do you do that and guide your kids well while still grieving and going through all the real emotions of what is going on in your family. So join me back here next week. If you have friends that are walking through a similar thing, you might want to make sure to point that out to them. And I'm telling you, whether that is your story or not, Vinitha is such a wise, wise woman. She has gone through so many things outside of even the divorce and is really, truly a wealth of information, wisdom, and encouragement. So join me back here next week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.